B-Pod Studios.
Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Are we on fire?
People need to chillax.
Mike Francesa appears to rip fought while ripping Adam Gase.
Yes.
I love meatballs.
Do you?
Let's go, Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb,
bomb, bomb. Go, Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb. Wall dick, well, yeah.
She made out with my dad.
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Get this week's dog out of here.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. We are the Toucher and Rich radio program. We're in the Town Fair Tire Studios. You can get on Twitch. Watch us. Twitch.tv. There's a big discussion. They're very nice. Go to Twitch.tv. Search 98.5 The Sports Hub. Subscribe. You can watch us. Make sure we're here.
Twitch people are going to love that hat. Twitch people are going to love that hat this morning.
It goes with my favorite shoes.
Let me see.
Oh, sweet. Hold on. Okay, I didn't get it.
They're the...
Okay. Oh, all right. I see.
That's a $280 pair of sneakers.
No, right? It isn't.
It is.
No way. That's $280?
The Michigan State Nikes. They they didn't make many of them.
I got to be honest with you. I capped my spending on sneakers at about $100. Well, I don't go much higher than that.
What's the difference between mover, shaker, headline makers, 9 to 5, or nickel and dimers?
You got the Jet hat, the Michigan State sneakers. We got the EPMD shirt, which is impressive.
Yeah.
I mean, you came ready. You came locked and loaded this morning.
Yeah, you got to plan when you're going to wear the Michigan State Nikes. But you can also get the 98.5, the sports app, Hub app at your app store. I have a question. Is there, first of all, Rich can't get in from Nantucket, so they'll figure that out eventually. Or maybe just Joe Murray sits here. So Joe Murray's probably on the way in, so maybe he just fills in for the show.
He's going to be sitting here in about an hour. Bankroll Boys.
Absolutely nothing wrong with that. All right. Can I ask a question? What are you, I saved it, John. I did not talk about this off the air. What the hell is going on? Someone call in 617-779-0985 because I'm up. I'm open to anything. Is something celestial happening? Are the phases of the moon off? Because there's a million people on the road. So don't tell me anything about the people aren't going out because there's a million people on the road. But then on the odd chances that there aren't, the little places in my drive where there are not people on the road, people are going a solid 25 miles an hour under the speed limit in the city of Boston. And in both lanes, you have, okay, the 6 o'clock break, the getting into the show, it's our little club. It's the unfortunate ones. It's us. It's you listening right now.
Yeah.
If you're on a podcast, it doesn't count. We're up before everyone else. It's pitch effing black outside. Route 9 is just a parking lot all day, all night.
Yeah.
You have about a window of 5 hours where it is open, where one can go 50, 60 miles an hour on Route 9. It should be this autobahn. It should be this wonderful feeling.
Once you get west.
I don't want to hear you.
Okay.
And it should be this wonderful feeling. And open road in front of you. Zooming through the city of Boston. What in the hell are you people doing? If your car can't take a undulation in the road and over 25, 30 miles an hour, you shouldn't have that car. You don't have the luxury of driving. You know, in Europe, a lot of people don't drive. A lot of people don't have driver's license. Don't drive. My God, and you're so confused. Pull over and figure it out. Yeah, and I'm patient. I meditate in the morning. I'm trying to practice patience, but my God, people, what is wrong with you? I'll give you two streets to figure it out. I understand. Two streets, you're looking at the street. It's hard to get around. It's dark outside. I get it.
Mm-hmm.
Two streets! woo, woo, woo. And then you pull over and you don't, and then you pull over to the side and you don't, it's just stop in the car. There are other people on the road, jackasses. I don't know what is going on today. I don't know what you're doing. I want to practice. I'm reading wherever you go, there you are. I'm meditating, mindfulness meditation.
It's working.
DM. I'm doing all these things. I'm trying to practice patience. But my God, what is wrong with you? And it was, and it's just like throwing my hands in the air.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, you drive, because for some reason, instead of moving quickly and getting where you want to go, because the lights here, whoever is the urban designer that controls the lights is out of their effing mind. I mean, they're timed perfectly wrong. Like, perfectly wrong.
On Route 9 or out here on Morrissey?
Everything.
Okay.
Morrissey, I don't hit a light on Morrissey. I'm on it for 10 seconds.
Okay.
You gotta just, I mean, you use the opportunity of an open road to just break in weird ways. I mean, this is the United States of America. If you're going to drive a car, guzzle gas and get where you want to go quickly. You got places to go. Jesus, you're Northeasterners. Act like it. You drive, I mean, my God, the open road to you means I'm just going to break all weird. I'm going to break all weird. Break, 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 breakity break. I love my break. Oh, do I love it? Break, break, break. Stupid brake lights everywhere. Break, 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 break. Break it in the road. Break it in the road. Break, break, break. No, you don't break in the road. Ow, my stomach hurts. Just breaking, just riding that brake. My God, all of you, and all of you are doing it. Today, what is going on? There has to be something going on beyond my sense of reason. There has to be something cosmic going on in the universe for you to be acting like this. Christian, go ahead.
Hey, so I drive a tow truck for a living, and yesterday I drove into Boston. It was backed up like crazy. And then I get into Boston. There's no one on the roads. There's no one walking around. This is at like 7, 8 o'clock in the morning. Today, I got up at 5, going up 495. I'm driving to Maine. And the whole way in Massachusetts was backed up, too.
Yeah, don't give me that no one's driving.
In the morning.
Yeah, don't give me no one's driving because it's crap. So don't sell me that. Whoever people are, tell me that there aren't people in cars because there are a lot. I mean, I they're all over the place, just breaking the day away. Can't get enough. It's their favorite thing to do. And then and there's people walking around, just walking into traffic and walking around. Oh, you're so proud of yourself. You know what you're doing? You're a hobo. You're a bum. You walk around like a stupid bum, like a bum that wants to get hit. Because I can't drive that heroin mile thing because they'll just jump in front of your car.
Sure.
So that's out of the question. So I have to take Tremont until it turns into Melania Cass and then take it to Columbia and then here.
Yes. Yes. I know what you're talking about.
It's
yes.
It's an 8-mile drive.
Yeah.
If everyone was normal,
mm-hmm.
First of all, if the lights were normal, I'd get here in 10 minutes.
No,
if,
no,
but that's not going to happen.
Boston lights suck in general.
No,
it would take, just real quick about Route 9.
No, I don't want to hear it.
Okay.
If I ran the city, it would take me 10 seconds. It would take an idiot. Just find the lights on Route 9 and synchronize them. That's all. That's all you got to do. Don't stagger them. Synchronize them. If you're going, what is it, Jesus, north-south, you screw you then. I mean, you're going north-south in the morning. No one cares about you on a street in Boston. It's east and west, baby. That's what people care about. When I'm going south here or whatever the hell I'm going when I'm on the Melania Cass or whatever.
Melania.
Whatever.
Yes.
Break. All you want to do is break. Paul, go ahead.
Fred, it's not just Boston. I live south of Boston, and, like, my hours were changed. So I get out at 4 in the afternoon. It takes me an extra 25 minutes to get home in the afternoon.
Yep.
I'm coming in right now. Where the hell are these cars coming in Abington?
I don't know. I don't know. But God bless them because I'm on the radio and I love it. And I understand traffic. That I get. Because if I didn't like traffic, I'd bitch all the time about it. I'd bitch about other things. But when you have this gift that we've all been given, we're all in the same boat. This is terrible. We're not supposed to be up now. Your friends aren't up now. No one's up now. Or if they're up there, you know, you hear like interviews with people. Well, I get up and I don't check my phone or the computer and I have a nice cup of coffee. Well, because you get to do whatever you want in the morning. We're the people that have to get up and go. But the one thing that we can hang our hat on is that we're all on the same team. We're a community. We're stars in a celestial garden. We're a community. And we should act like it. We should be the people that appreciate the openness. We should be a team. We should be honking at each other in friendship and flicking our lights in friendship. We should all be together. Instead, we're apart. It's ridiculous. I got to tell you, John, I mean, just break, 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 break. Where are you going? Nothing's open. On the way here, there's, you know, there's a couple Dunkin' Donuts. There's a donut shop on Tremont Street. And then there's a sandwich shop before you get to Columbia. Those are the three things that are open, except for gas stations. And Lord help you if you can't pull into a gas station. Because then you can't have a license. But today something's going on, and it's weird.
How long did it take you to get here?
Close to a half an hour.
Okay.
Brian, go ahead.
Hey, you guys. Hey.
Hey, what's up?
Hey.
So I've been talking with people about this all the time because it is since the lockdowns have sort of got less. It's the people on the road are ridiculous. And the best answer I've come up with is that all these people who used to take the train in, whether it was the commuter rail or whatever, now they're driving in because they don't want to ride the train because they're scared of the COVID.
Oh,
and they just have no clue how to drive in traffic.
Well, you know what? Take the train and don't get in a car wreck with your stupid drive. You're much more likely with your idiot-ass driving than you are being on the train.
Oh, no, I can't go on the train. I'm so afraid of the train.
Get on the train. Shut up. Wear a mask, dummy. They clean the things. I mean, what do you think they do?
Oh, I don't want to be on the train.
Get on the train. Stop driving around. You're going to get in an accident. You're going to kill everybody. Jesus, I would love to take the train. They don't have a train goes this way. If I could get on a train and pop me right out there, right next to work. I mean, it would take me 8 years. Mm-hmm. But if I had the opportunity, I'd do it.
Yep. There is a train stop near here, but it's not going
to
help you.
Oh, yeah, right. I would have to go into the city to get it.
I know. I have to go all the way into Boston to change lines. Yeah, but there is a train stop near here.
I could walk to the train station, go into Boston, get on another train to come all the way
come down
back
here. Sure, yeah.
Yeah, that's not happening. But, I mean, if we were in North Station or South Station, if we were around there, if we were in the Prudential, I'd take the train.
Mm-hmm.
Lovely. You can read. You don't have to do anything. You put in headphones. You have a nice time. But again, we should be a community. All of us that are up right now, we don't have it the greatest. It's okay. But the one thing we have is we all should be on the same page. This is not me venting. This is me saying a message of togetherness. Let's all band together, man. If you're afraid of the train, what do you think? Everyone's out to kill you? Get on the train. You're fine. My God. We take risks in our lives every day. Get on the train. And if you're driving, drive. Drive your car. Enjoy. Enjoy the one advantage is that you get to get where you're going. And that's it. That's it. So this is our club. This break right here is our club. People start waking up around now. But the first break, everyone's still asleep. But us, let's go. Come on. All right. We'll be back and we'll
cover everything that happened last night.
You feel better?
Yeah, actually.
Okay,
all right. Well,
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Coming up next at 10, Sports Talk. Well, you're on the clock. Zolak and Bertrand. Right now, it's Toucher and Rich on Boston's Home for Sport. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed. It's Toucher and Rich.
What happened last night?
98.5 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. You can follow John on at Ken Griffey Rules on Twitter. You can follow me at Fred Toucher on Instagram. Rich gets no plug because he is on Nantucket and cannot get into the radio station.
What are we up to followers-wise on Instagram? Have we reached 20K? I know that was a big goal for you.
I'm well below. I'm 19,000 and there's no decimal.
Oh, all right.
So I'm like just 19,000.
Got it.
So I'm not. You go at Fred Touch, you just follow out of pity at this point. And people go, do you want followers? Yes, I do want followers. Apparently, this is the only thing I can own on my own. You know, if this is one point. Some people are making money off this thing. I want in. You know, I put things up. For instance, I'm frying a turkey. So the one good thing that's happened about coronavirus.
Yeah.
The only good thing that's come out so far that did not, because like, you know, sobriety and all that stuff, but it's not that fun. But what one thing that came out is I don't have to go to Philadelphia for Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, everyone's pretty excited about this.
No Yadro clowns this year.
No. My parents are not coming up. They're going to come up for Christmas because I can't go down there for Christmas because I burned through all my sick and vacation days. And I don't want to take... I want to get paid.
Yes.
So apparently, I'm an hourly employee now. So what happens is that I want to fry a turkey. I want one of them... ugly mugs. I want to fry it because the turkey on Thanksgiving is, and people go, turkey. And you're like, it's turkey. I eat turkey sandwiches all the time. Well, it's different. No, it's really not. But a fried turkey, seasoned correctly, because then I can do whatever I want. I like, you know what I like, John? Bold flavors.
Yeah, sure.
I love them.
Anyone who knows you knows that. Sure.
But I can really half the turkey, and I even might get a turducken as well. Which is the yes. Turkey. I know him only from John Madden.
Sure.
But I like duck as well. It's very... So the white meat, I think, juxtaposed with the almost fall off the bone duck would be great. But I think of fried turkey. But one thing I know about myself is that I'm incapable of doing anything requiring putting anything together. I'll give up. If I have to get oil and it doesn't work right away.
I have this same problem with just about everything. Anything that takes me longer than 10 minutes to put together, someone else has to do it.
Right.
That's how I operate. Yes.
So, yeah. So what basically is going to happen is that so usually I just buy things. I just buy them and then they come and I don't use them. But for this, I really don't want on Thanksgiving. I want to do this. I want a fried turkey. It would be nice. Be special. Everyone's excited about my wife, my kids. So I did some research and I'm reading. They're like, well, it's kind of hard to put together and you got to, you know, get the oil temperature right. So I put up on the Instagram, I go, give me some advice on what to do. And a lot of people did. And some people are saying they're non-oil fryers. Now, those are supposed to be easy, but I can't imagine how that fries particularly well. So I think I might get one of those as a backup and a actual fryer.
Like an air fryer, Fred, with the propane or no?
Is that it's an infrared. Let me see what it is.
Talk to the tool bag here. He knows.
I know. Yeah, he knows that. Well, you want to come over? You don't have any family or anything. You only have 85 brothers and sisters. There's a kid named O'Brien who's got a bunch of siblings.
Shocking.
Yeah. It's
weird.
What are we up to? 77, 78?
Something like that, yeah. It's
yeah.
Small crowd.
There's a wedding or a funeral every day. All right.
Or a wake, yeah.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. What do I got here? It's a Charbroil Big Easy Oilless Propane Turkey Fryer is what it's called. And you have to buy the accoutrements separately. You only get the turkey fryer. A wise man would get like all the other like the metal things that come with it.
Sure.
Apparently, there's lots of metal things that need to be used.
How long does it take to fry a turkey?
Not long. I mean, we're talking about like a couple minutes.
Exactly. Yeah. If you get the temperature right on the oil and you properly lower it in very slowly into the oil, obviously, so you don't get the splatter and burn yourself, but no, you can it can take, you know, minutes, 30 minutes maybe.
That's fantastic, because if it's the oven, it's like 7 hours, right?
I don't know. I've never done it.
It's a day-long event, yes.
But you know what the accoutrements for the turkey are? 4 boneless rib hooks, 2 leg racks, 6 easy out rib hooks, 8 skewers, easy load kebab holder, and basket lifter. And they're all made of standard steel or wire steel.
Of course.
I mean, all of them. There's not one in there.
How much does all of this run you?
The accoutrements are $24.
Okay.
And if I want to cover that effer up with a handy-dandy cover, that's $10.49.
And how much is the fryer?
The fryer itself, John, as I'm bearing the lead, the fryer itself would cost a man $112.54.
That's an awesome investment for 30 minutes as opposed to 5 hours or 10 hours, however long it is in the oven.
Yes.
I think that's an investment well spent.
Mm. But is it the same as the oil? Rob, go ahead.
Hey, Fred, listen. All you got to do is cover the turkey in butter, but there's one very important safety fact. The turkey cannot be frozen.
Yes,
Okay, you got to dip it in very, very, very slow, and it's only 40 minutes for a 12-pound turkey.
Oh, great.
Yeah, I've seen the videos of fire running amok when it explodes when you put it in, right? If it's frozen, it explodes, correct?
Yeah, the water has nowhere to go, and you get a little cavitation, and you get the oil on your body. And if you wear glasses, they're going to fog up real quick when you drop it real slow. There's a lot of steam involved, but just don't be scared. Dip it in slow. You'll be fine.
Maybe I'll put that on the gram. Me dipping the turkey in.
I think that would get you at least a couple of followers. Yes. I think that will
members only, maybe a Patreon.
That'll jack up the listenership, I think, if you do that.
All right, well, listen, that's what I want to do. John, go ahead.
So I've tried to keep for 5 or 6 years in a row. The best way to do it is the first night or the night before Thanksgiving. Season a chicken and deep fry the chicken first. That seasons your oil. Use the same oil the next day when you're doing the turkey. Adds more flavor to it.
Sneaky. Wait. So what do you do the first night?
The night before Thanksgiving, I'll deep fry a chicken in the same oil that I'm going to use the next day for the turkey.
Ah, smart.
There you go.
That's a good call right there.
I like that. That's like keeping the grill dirty. A lot of people don't clean the grill because they believe the juices.
Yep.
Accumulate and it gives you a distinct flavor.
Yep.
Like seasoning that cast iron pan.
Yes.
Because people talk about this smoking, and I'm like, who cares? Who wants to do all that? But this frying, now you got me because it's just a matter of moments. And it's really, I think, once you get it in, you're okay.
Yeah, it's the dropping it in. You're going to have that hook that they're talking about, Fred. It's almost like this arm on the microphone. You want to drop it in really, really slowly.
Can you imagine my children?
Stay away from it.
The anarchy of my children. God.
That'll be your biggest distraction.
I mean, they'll be sticking their head in it. They'll be kicking it over. Because they'll know that fire could happen, so they'll be like that, like kind of nervous excitement, and they'll be like,
maybe dad will blow himself up type of thing.
Yeah, and then they'll get like super excited. And then all chaos.
Yeah.
But, that's the plan.
So you're really pumped about this. I mean, this is something you're looking forward to doing.
I think that Thanksgiving at home with just the four of us, I'm looking forward to that. And I do think that a fried turkey is something that we'd all really like.
To be able to host a Thanksgiving or have it at home is fantastic and a luxury that I personally have had once in the last 25 years. I've only been home once, and that was because my kids were under a year old and we decided we didn't want to travel, so everyone came to us. But other than the cleanup, which is obviously sucks, it's great because so much of Thanksgiving is planning out a plane trip. You know, you got to get to the airport. You got to make sure you connect. If you're going a long way, like my wife and I went to Seattle 1 year, you got to make sure you make the connection if it's raining or, you know, whatever the case may be. There's no travel. There's no anything. You wake up, you know you don't have to go anywhere. Maybe you have to set the table. Obviously, you got to get the turkey ready. But if you've planned ahead, you're fine. And then someone else cleans up afterwards. And it's fantastic. You fall asleep in your own chair. You're on your own time. But if you go somewhere else, regardless of if you know the person or not, there's that uncomfortability of getting there, behaving well, or if you're at your, like in your case, your father-in-law's place, there's that, you know, hesitation when it's not my stuff and I'm surrounded by Yajo clowns.
Yes.
It is a great luxury to sit in your own living room and watch football or do whatever you want to do and just pass out and know you can be completely relaxed because you don't give a crap what other people think.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to Thanksgiving. Christmas, I wish we were going to my parents' house, but, and so do my kids, but it is what it is. It's, you know, and I guess if I went to my parents' house, I'd have to come back and quarantine for 2 weeks, which is.
Yes, that's absolutely true.
Right. Because, you know, going to the middle of nowhere in Tennessee is really, a big risk. Big risk. All right, we'll be back. We'll actually... Felger and Maz had some interesting things and things that I believe. I do believe what they're saying. And we'll talk about that. Here are the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Sports Hub.
It's a really good idea to be really active on Twitter. That is a one-way ticket to riches. There's no downside.
It's Toucher and Rich on Boston's Home for Sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
.985 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Joe Murray is here.
Good morning.
Rich can't get in from Nantucket, so what are you going to do? All right. Felger and Maz had an interesting thing. A lot of people are watching the World Series, and they see Mookie Betts, who admittedly is electric and a lot of fun to watch. He plays a mean right field, and, you know, he's the stolen bases and the home runs. It's exciting, but I contend that if he was on the Red Sox, they'd be just as bad as they. I mean, what's his WAR?
So you win another couple of games,
yeah,
maybe three,
yeah. So say his WAR.
I mean, he's 27-33 instead of 24-36,
right? Yeah. So I mean, and you have so many holes to fill that, you know. I guess it would be neat to be able to see Mookie Betts play every day, but other than that, but
he'd be like Mike Trout with the Angels.
Yes, exactly.
That's exactly. The Angels have the bet. Trout's the only guy that's clearly better than Betts in the majors at this point. And look at how bad the Angels have been the last 5 years with Trout doing what he's doing.
And Trout is one of the great athletes that you'll ever see play the sport.
That's right. He may be, if not, he won't be the best of all time. But he's one of the best baseball players of all time.
Look at
and he's been to the playoffs once.
Yep. And look at his baseball cards. Woofy, woofy. And you see the Angels team that threw a bunch of money around and they haven't done anything. So I guess give Dombrowski a little credit there. But you traded the future for the World Series, and you got the World Series. And that's the way it goes. But anyway, I believe this totally. Here is Felger from the Felger and Maz show yesterday.
I heard from a guy at a cocktail party, literally, okay? But he might know. Take it for what it's worth. It's from a player source. And this is where he would have gotten it from the player side of it. okay? And it was a conversation at literally a outdoor, socially distant cocktail party. The guy says, boy, he turned down a lot of money here. Speaking of bets, I'm like, well, what do you mean he turned down? Weren't the Red Sox like way, you know, they offered 320. He signed for 380 or asked for 400. Weren't they way under? I mean, he said, oh, no, no, no. They offered what he asked. They offered a lot more than that. And he turned it down. And I'm like, well, wait a minute. Why wouldn't the Sox let everybody know that? Because right now everyone's calling them cheapskates. And the guy said, paraphrasing, they thought it would be a worse PR hit if people knew that Betts just turned him down straight out, that it wasn't a money thing. Because then it speaks to he didn't want to be here. What makes the Red Sox look worse? They offer him everything that he got in LA and he turned him down? PR purposes, it is better to be cheap or to be, you know, labeled cheap versus no one wants to play for you.
Yeah. And first of all, when do you get to the age where you have cocktail parties? Because I want to get there. I mean, when is the age? And first of all, thank God for social distancing, because I was going to judge you. Thank you for putting that in there. So you didn't get the ire of the audience that I get every time you open your mouth. You went to the movies? But yes, it was a socially distanced cocktail party. Felger, it seems, is involved in these like card games on Nantucket, and
he's
where there's
part
no
of,
limit.
He's got the key to that lock that opens up the door to that secret society that all of us think that all of us have heard whispers
about. You know the scene in Diner where it's Mickey Rourke and Kevin Bacon, and the girl's coming down on the horse, and Kevin Bacon turns to Mickey Rourke, he goes, do you ever think that there's stuff going on that we just don't know about?
Yeah, that's a great
and
call.
And that is exactly what Felger's
yes.
life is.
Yes.
Is that it's, do you ever think there's something going on that we don't know about?
And Felger is in that room
yeah.
enjoying that life that we don't know about.
So yeah. I don't doubt that at all. Yeah. And it makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
Where would you rather play? If the Red Sox offered you that kind of money and the Dodgers offered you whatever kind of money.
I'd rather be in L.A. But just real quick about Felger's point, if I'm the Red Sox, I make damn sure people know that I
wouldn't.
Why not?
Because I'll tell you why. Because I do think that the PR hit is worse. Because I have been justifying not paying bets. Because I think that that's justifiable. What sounds worse, and I do believe it, or I can see the logic in thinking it, is that... if Mookie doesn't want to stay and one of the big stars in baseball doesn't want to stay here, does that send a message to our fans that people don't want to play here? And beyond that, does it send a message to players that they don't want to play here? Because let's look at what's happened. We had David Price, who, you know, made it very clear he didn't want to be here. I mean, if David Price...
Bad example. Bad
okay,
example.
I know, but it's there. It's there. So, but then you add in, everyone loves Mookie Betts. He loves to bowl. He's mm-hmm. this kid from Ohio. I mean, you know, and he doesn't want to play for Boston. I do think that that's bad for the fans and for...
I disagree. I think if you're the Red Sox and Mookie Betts, and the Red Sox have been getting killed since the first second of the World Series by the national media. That's really bad PR. But the other part of it is, if you have a generational player... and you're telling your fan base by not telling them what you did or didn't do that they didn't go all out to try and keep him. If I'm the Red Sox, I make damn sure that people know that I went all out to keep one of the best players in baseball, and it was his fault that he didn't stay. And it was his fault that we had to trade him, because otherwise all we were going to get for him is a stupid compensatory draft pick. That's the way I play this.
The other part of that conversation was that David Price and Mookie Betts are really good friends. David Price has influenced Mookie. I guess that incident on the plane with Dennis Eckersley.
Sure.
Sounds like Mookie Betts was behind that as well.
You see, I heard differently. I heard that Betts was horrified at the whole thing.
Yeah, so two sides, you know, there's three sides to every story on that one. But,
well, we all know my groundbreaking journalistic work about Dustin Pedroia being part of that. But
sure.
But the point is that Price was traded with Betts.
Mm-hmm.
They were both African American here in Boston. They probably, you know, I don't know if that had anything to do with it.
That may be a stretch.
Maybe that's not why they left. It would be saying a lot to say that's why they left. But from a PR standpoint, maybe you're sensitive towards that. Maybe you don't want it out there that black players don't want to play here. Whatever, it's not out of the realm of possibility. Because, and I can't say it is, because I've been defending Red Sox not signing him. I thought they were smart. Shame on me. Because I think that it's much more smart to trade him than it is to pay him. But, you know.
Pennies on the dollar, dude. They didn't get enough.
Of course.
And they waited too long.
Well, I think ultimately the Red Sox got what they could get. Because the Dodgers, even though they had fully planned on re-signing him, we talked about this yesterday. If I'm the Dodgers and Betts, you know, he's about to show up on my doorstep, I tell you, Mookie, we'll give you whatever you want. We have warm weather. We have the number two media market in the country. You're going to be a star here. We'll pay you $380 million. Just come here. And then they turn around and Friedman calls the Red Sox and says, well, we don't know if he's going to be here. We're not going to give you a Gavin Lux or our best prospects. We only have him for one season. Why would we give you everything? So not only do they have the wink-wink, you know, nudge-nudge deal with Mookie when he gets here, they don't have to give up a lot to get him. I think the Dodgers played this right.
And by the way, when you talk about the Angels and Mike Trout, it's funny that you say that because who is the major signing that...
Pujols.
Right. And they took Pujols. He's going to be 41 in 41 in quotations. Last year of his contract is this coming season.
$30 million.
He's played fine. But isn't that the same kind of age range that Mookie is
slide it up a couple of years using his age as a real age. Slide it up a couple of years because Mookie's only 28 when they got Pujols. He was in his 30s.
I think he was – so it's a 10-year deal. So I think he was 39 when they got him. 29. Yeah. Well, yeah, 39. They gave him a 10-year deal at 39. But and at the time, I think that was $240 million, and I think that was the most that they had paid anyone.
But don't forget, the Angels just went out and also signed Anthony Rendon to an insane contract.
Right.
So they have Trout, Rendon, and they have to pay Pujols $30 million. They didn't spend any money on pitching.
But yeah, that's the thing, and that's the same situation that the Red Sox would have been in, is they would have had no pitching, they would have had Mookie Betts. So essentially, you would have Devers, Bogarts, Betts, Not one pitcher, not a closer. I mean, you have nothing. And then what are you going to do? So moving bets just to get prospects in general, I mean, they just have to build that farm system. Just look no further than the World Series for evidence.
What was the Machado deal, John?
Oh, boy.
And that's why I think they should have traded them before the season started. At the trade deadline, because Machado got...
Well, even more reason, but maybe they tried
Machado,
to sign.
Machado got the deal that the Red Sox were rumored to have given Betts, 10 years, $300
million. No, but what would they get in return when they traded Machado?
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Would they get like five players and a starter?
Yeah.
Watching Gratterall out there and all these bashers, Josh Peterson, all these guys.
It's interesting. Gratterall throws 99 but doesn't strike anybody out, which I find utterly amazing.
Because there's no movement.
It's weird.
Listen, these guys can hit anything. There's no speed. 105, they have problems. But anything around 100, 100, that thing better move.
And by the way, watching the Dodgers in Tampa Bay, watching their relievers, like watching Dustin May, who got hit around last night, but Dustin May throws 99. Mm. Every single pitcher out of the bullpen throws 95. The Red Sox seem to make it a mission this year to get as many people as they can to throw 90. They have about six guys on that staff this year that topped out at 91. Like that Zach Godley guy who grunts like he's a tennis player and like sounds like he's giving every last ounce of strength to throw the ball to the plate, tops out at 91. They had, you know, three starters and four relievers, all who threw 90. Meanwhile, the good teams, like the two you're watching in the World Series, if you're watching the World Series, all throw 95 to 101, all of them. It's amazing.
Well, I mean, you look at the Cardinals organization. I mean, they'll take catchers. They'll sign catchers.
Yep, and convert them. Sure.
I mean, they'll take kids and convert them.
The Red Sox are so far away from what I'm watching on TV now.
Well, yeah, and
they're so far away from
signing bets makes you even further away.
I know. But, I mean, it's just...
I know. But how... You know what's weird about the national baseball media is that they are more wrong. Like, they can't... I think the people that cover baseball... Because Bobby Valentine is a perfect example of it. Is that they get this dreamy, like, you know, Ruthian, naturally kind of, like, feeling about baseball. and they can't see the forest through the trees. Is that, you know, oh, Bobby Valentine, he's you know, riding around in a cart and he's out there with Iglesias teaching him play shortstop. And I'm watching and I'm going, there's 18-year-olds that would be telling the guy to F off. You're not dealing with a regional travel team and doing that. But the national media, and then like you got Bob Ryan, who I love and who I've, you know, helped out here and there with the book tour thing. But he's like, you know, it's the worst move since they didn't, you know, sign the Babe. And it's just like, come on, dude. You know better than that. Like, take off the...
Unfortunately, the years kind of line up century to century.
Right.
The way this has worked out.
I actually agree with that, but Lester was probably the franchise-altering move when they let Lester go.
But then they won a World Series after let him go.
You won a World Series. You won a World Series.
No, you did. You made the deal. You knew what you were getting involved with Dombrowski. He traded away all your prospects. You spent a ton of your money. And now you're left on the backside of the tidal wave that just went by.
Yes.
And that's, you're going to have to deal with this. Yes. It's going to be 2, 3, 4 more years before you're relevant again, because you've got to build the farm system back up and you have to pay guys that are decent.
And in baseball, free agents come around and you sign them at the right time. You don't sign them when you suck.
Yeah.
Sign a guy and saddle yourself with that guy. So, you know, at the end of his prime, you're maybe you get a couple of prime years out of him. No, you could. Why? Now why? Sign a kid who's a free agent at 28. When he's 28, when you're good, do that. There's guys like Machado that are available. There's guys like Betts that are available. It's going to happen again.
I mean, ultimately, you're going to find a lot of guys that you've never heard of that are going to be pitching for your team for the next couple of years. Maybe they hit on a young kid like that kid Tanner Houck at the end of the season. Pitched real well. And they think he could be one of those young guys. But Houck wasn't a highly rated. He was a first-round pick, but he wasn't one of those guys that all the other teams asked for. I mean, he wasn't like, oh, if you were going to make a deal, it starts with that number one prospect, Tanner Houck. He was well-regarded, but not that well-regarded, and he popped for you. Maybe he'll help your starting rotation. That's great, but then you still need 2 or 3 other starting pitchers next year.
Yeah, so there you go. I mean, you got to build your system in order to field the team.
Who won the trade?
The Betts trade?
Yeah, it's the Dodgers.
Yeah,
the Dodgers won the trade.
Right now, the Dodgers absolutely won the trade.
Yeah, and
they forever won the trade,
but they won the trade for a half season and then signed him. So, they won a trade, but you can't say that they traded Betts halfway through his contract. I mean, they traded Betts. They got a half a season out of him and signed him. Anyone could have signed him.
I would love to know if Felger is right.
I think Felger is right.
If the Red Sox actually offered Mookie all that money and he turned them down because he wanted to go play somewhere else.
Look, I don't think Felger's at a place where everyone's, like, loaded and just, you know, swapping stories.
He knows the backyards of mansions wearing the flip flops and the pink axe shorts. He's out there.
Yeah, the one
he's
time
out there,
the
he's,
one,
he's dealing with masters of industry.
Yeah, the one time I went to the Four Seasons for cocktails, I went one time in my life and there was Felger. So there you go. I mean, the man is out and about, socially distanced, so no one get on him. Mm-hmm. All right, we'll be right back. The Bankroll Boy is going to join us.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.